Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 178 for November 23rd, 2021. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So today will be a option professor solo episode. He usually moderates, but he will be doing the whole show this time. So you should be seeing his screen right now. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, great. Thanks, David. And thanks, everybody, for being here. We're going to go over a lot of the different stocks that you have. I always start out a quick background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College, and I've been in the investment arena for many decades. I've done hundreds of seminars on the uses and risks of option trading throughout the country. And basically, what I'm going to do is share my opinions and my observations on not only the stocks that you've submitted, but also things that I see in the market as well that might be of interest to you as well. So I'm going to try to get through your stocks, and then I'm going to try to get through a wide variety of markets that are out there because we are seeing volatility pick up. And of course, your complacency index is also rising, which is called the VIX. And we will discuss that a little bit more at length because, you know, we'll have to see if there's going to be more changes coming up here as we get through the holiday. One thing I always say is we're going to share with you our opinions and our observations. Again, this is not advice. You should be always consulting your brokerage firm and your broker to determine your own suitability and risk tolerance before you look at anything. And then, of course, that past performance is not indicative of future results. So again, this is for informational purposes only. Let's get started. First of all, we'll go a general idea here. The markets are just closing here. The S&P on the future, as you can see on the screen, is up a few points. It was down lower. Went down to an area called 46.52. And that is an area right underneath where support was at 46.60. So today is kind of interesting. Did they dip it underneath the 46.60 to get the stops? And now they're closing it above it. And now are we going to be home free for the rest of the week and next week when we have the first of the month? It's possible. But clearly your lines in the sand are pretty clear. 4,600, 4,630 on the downside. And on the upside, you've obviously established one at 2740. And right now, those are your parameters as far as I can see. So right now, we're moving away from the lower end, and we'll have to see what the data dump, which is happening tomorrow, data dump. What does that mean? You're going to get information on the consumer. You're going to get PMIs. You're going to get inventories. You're going to get the Fed minutes. You're going to be getting quite a bit of information tomorrow. Inflation gauges. So they're going to be hitting you really hard right before you have your turkey, and we'll have to see. Now, again, retail, personal income and personal spending should be great if those retail stocks like XLY have anything to do with what's going on, because obviously there is quite a bit of movement in the consumer discretionaries. So big data day tomorrow, and we'll have to see how it goes. Clearly, it lost its legs a little bit this week when they had passed Powell, which means a green light that he wants to be a tough guy a little bit more than he has been. He doesn't have to worry about losing his job. And of course, he is a Republican. So, you know, obviously there's not much for them to argue about. So it's a situation where he should be able to go through. So again, I'm suspecting here that today was a dip through those stops at 46.60 and holding the 46.30, very important, and now closing above it. And again, there's a bit of a bid as we go into the end of the day. So that's my take on the short run. Let's go and go into the stocks so we can go into other areas afterwards, okay? Because again, there's a lot going on in the bond market that hasn't been going on. So we'll start out with Microsoft. Now, Microsoft, the story there is pretty simple. Obviously, it's the greatest company in the world. And also, it is a company that people run to when they want to take shelter from risk in the stock market. It also is heavily weighted in the indexes. So if they can get Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, and a few other ones to get going, they can keep the indexes looking quite well, even though other stocks might be falling apart. So as you can see, this is a 20-year chart. It gives you an idea of how ridiculously high we are. Basis the moving averages. Anybody who's been around the block knows that that is a ridiculous price based on the moving average, as far as this being the mean. So that's why next year in 2022, it's our view that at some point we are going to have a very, very significant correction. Now, that doesn't mean get out of all your stocks now, but it definitely means don't go fall asleep at the wheel. And maybe you use your weekly highs and lows as parameters or some kind of a shorter term moving average, but you certainly don't want to be holding anything to a reversion in the mean. Now, there's no evidence of it reverting right now. So this is, like I say, not something to worry about this second, but I would be in shock if we went through the entire 2022. And let's face it, 12 months goes by in a minute. So within the 12 months ahead, it would be shocking to me that if we don't have some kind of a reaction back to the mean. So that's something to keep an eye on, macro picture for next year. All right, let's go micro here and we'll go to the 1 month graph. What does it look like? Well, it looks like it had a nice rally from what, 300 up to 350. And now it looks like it's coming off a little bit on a monthly graph here, which is a relatively short-term graph. It looks like as long as it stays under 340 and 342, it may still have some trouble ahead. The RSI is hanging around the 50 number, so that's not bad. So if it starts getting back above 340 and 342, that might be a good signal to jump back in because it could be a situation where it's having a pullback. And now after the pullback is done, if this is the end of the pullback, we could go after 350. When? In December and January, when money's supposed to plow into the market. That's what is anticipated. We'll have to see what's happening. Right now, it's on the defensive. Above 340 and above 342, it would be on the offensive. Let's look at the one-year graph. Again, it did break the 12 SMA, which is at 337.44, but it's closing above it, which is good. So if you wanted to keep it on a really short leash, that's the number I would work with, around 337. Or today's low, whatever it was, the 333. So, you know, if you want to keep it on a short leash, you take today's low, 333.56, and there's your get out if you're doing short-term stuff. Longer term, 5 year, again, just extended, overbought with an RSI that seems to be a little bit extended as well at 71. So, you know, you don't have to listen to me to find out that stocks have had a big run and they're extended. You just look at the chart and anybody can see it. All right. So Microsoft looks pretty good on a short-term basis. You want it back above 340, 342. Definitely would like to see keep it above 337. You start breaking under 337, it's going to open the door for further price movement, maybe down to 330, which is another support area. That's your 24 SMA. So there you are, 337 and then 330, and then underneath that, 320. So there's your three support numbers. There is a gap down here. So if it breaks bad, in other words, people start dumping stocks for some reason next week, then, you know, or even, you know, after this data dump tomorrow and Friday, when the markets are fairly thin, possibly, you know, they could go after that. So, but right now, again, just looks like a little bit of a dip. And 330 and 337, you'd like it to keep above there if possible. All right. DocuSign. Some of these guys who were very big during the COVID crises gave it back, like Zoom. Let's see if this one's doing the same. Yeah. You know, they want people, I guess, to sign their documents in person. I don't know. But the bottom line is, of course, this is a valuation story. And when yields start rising, this thing's going to get nailed. And that's what's happening again today. So let's take a look at it and see what the trend looks like. Obviously, everybody uses it, so it's not a bad company, but maybe they're not using it as much since people are getting out and about. And secondarily, maybe it's a situation where people are looking at the valuation and they're thinking the growth rates are not going to keep up. And ergo, we can't evaluate it at whatever the valuation is. At any rate, here's what it looks like on a short run. You're looking at a RSI that doesn't look so great. It's under 50. You're looking at having to get above 260 to get back on the bicycle, which is a long way we are from here. So, you know, you might say it's oversold down here, but that's if that's the best thing you can say, that's not very good. Let's go out to the 1 year. And again, it took out this low. Again, you know, today's low is interesting. If you're a short-term trader, let's see what it looks like on a day trade. Did it turn around? Yeah, on a day trade, it turned around. So right now on a day trade, you'd like it to stay above 240 and 241.50. And it's doing that. So if you want to keep it on a short lease, that would be a short one. But turning to the 1 month, looks like, you know, maybe it'll have a rebound rally because that is oversold. And again, oversold a little bit, you know, way away from the averages. So, you know, you got a line in the sand with today's low, which is again, 237 ballpark. And I think the, let's see if the 5 day turned up at all. Yeah, you know, like I say, this is just a minor turn. You'd have to be a very aggressive trader to do that. Sometimes aggressive works, sometimes it doesn't. But there's not much here technically to hold your hat on. It just looks like it's got a lot of people wanting to get out. And again, to get back on a real uptrend, you'd have to get above 265, 270. Five-year graph, this hadn't been around all that long. You know, this thing broke as well. You know, realistically, if you could get above the blue line here, which is the 36 SMA, and that would be at 257, ballpark 258, 260, you know, that might be a situation where this was just a run the stops kind of thing, because it still is ascending. The blue line is still ascending. That's not bad. Where's your RSI? Yeah, and your RSI is right at the crunch time, 49. So here's the opinion I would have, is if I like this company, I'd like it a lot better if it was 258 to 260, and if this RSI starts turning up on the five-year, and that might be something to look at. If we got above 260, what would that do to the one-year? Wouldn't do too much, really. One-year needs to have more. And what would it do on the 1 month? It would just really take you into resistance. So that's why getting above the 260 mark, if you really want to see this stuff up here, you'd have to see that. But obviously, this is something that has been thrown out in the trash. And again, it's probably more about valuation than anything else. I'm not that 100% familiar with the company. There could be competition out there. You know, technology is changing constantly, and it's not impossible that there's competitors coming out there. Okay, here you go with Biohaven Pharma. Pharma's, you know, live by the sword, die by the sword. And this one's been dying by the sword lately, huh? So, in other words, you know, how their stage trials are going, and did they, you know, how things are going with different drugs that they have. Obviously, that's the big thing with this stuff. And when they're going well, you know, people are either gambling that it's going to happen. And when they go like this, probably something hadn't happened. At any rate, technically, it's still under the water. You know, not much to say here. Looks bad. 1 year graph. Again, this thing broke way up here, so you shouldn't have been in it ever since 140, 135. So there's really no reason to be in it. And the trend is clearly on the downside. Now, what's the thing? It's oversold. So you take this low today of what? 106. And then you turn to your day graph and you see, was there any turn today? Yeah, there was a turn. Remember I said 106 was your low? Well, as soon as it got to 107 and change, if you're a day trader, you should have been in. Right now, it's a little bit extended. What does it look like on the monthly? Again, we already looked at the monthly. Nothing but overhead resistance. And so if you're a short-term trader, you could stay. You could have stuck your head in here and got a day trade out of it. But, you know, catching falling knives, you know, pretty bloody experience. So that's what you were doing here. Is it way oversold? Absolutely. You know, so again, if you're kind of an aggressive, you know, take a gamble kind of deal, you know, you find a line in the sand like the low today, which is 109.60, and you use that as a get out point, or you put some option strategy together to hedge yourself, or even look at the calls. I mean, what are the calls going to be going for in this kind of thing? So if you want to gamble, limited risk, you could look at the calls. And again, if it comes and fills that gap, the guy who takes a shot at calls down here, you know, would obviously make out pretty good. But it's a real contrarian trade. It's a real catching the falling knife. And sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't. Okay, looking at the long term, I don't know how long this company's been around. It's been around since 18 anyway. And again, now here's why we look at things on all different time zones. Again, if I really wanted to get this company here, I'd look at my 36 SMA here. And I'd say, you know what, if this thing can stay above 109, you know, I'm going to stick it out. Because you know what, this is a big correction back to the mean. And right now, this might be a good place to be tough and kind of take a shot, because you're taking a shot right here. And if you took a shot when it came down here, it was a good idea. It broke down here, right? But once it got back above it, it was a good deal, because this is a rising SMA. So yeah, that's why we look at things, you know, what do you call it? Larry Summers on Bloomberg was saying, you know, economists should look at things from many different aspects. And the reason he had that comment is because you have to look at it from, okay, what if inflation picks up? What if it doesn't? What if unemployment picks up? What if it doesn't? You know, different contingencies. Same thing here. When you're looking at something, I like looking at a multitude of charts, because you get multitude of time frames. Here, the five-year average is actually telling you it could be a great place to buy. Whereas what? The 1 year looks like trash. 1 month looks like trash. But the 5 year is telling you you've really just come back to the mean. So keep an eye on it. Look at that 109 number. Let's see how it does next week. Okay. PLTR is Palantir. And that was going good for a while. Then that went out with the bathwater as well. But now let's see what's going on. It tried to get above 30, I think. And then it was sayonara. So here you are. On a month, 1 month level, again, that looks like trash, right? Down, 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 a little oversold. Looking at the 1 year, again, it was going good. You know, see, you got to 30, came back down, they got back above it. But you know, see the SMAs on this, you know, they don't look very good. Clearly above 24 to get back on the bicycle. Oversold, yes. Now, does the 5-year give us a tip? I don't think this thing's been around that long. Yeah, same thing hasn't been around that long. So there's not much looking at it technically that looks very good. Obviously, they are in the data and they got all this gold they bought that hadn't been working out so good. $50 million of gold. And they also work heavily with the government. So you'd think they have government contracts that would insulate them. But there could be more behind the curtain that I'm not familiar with. I'm just looking at it technically. But clearly somebody doesn't like it and they used to like it a lot. So again, on a day trade, did it give you any turn? Yeah, it gave you a little turn today down around 20, but that's about it. So on a short-term basis, it gave you a little turn. Everything past one day still looks kind of bad. So I can't really do too much for anybody who's bullish on this. And if you're out, you know, looks like staying out would be the way to go. On the way back up, it could have a lot of resistance at around 23 here where these lows are. And of course, there's a gap there at 24. Might go up to fill there and run into all this. So right now, not too much to say about Palantir. If you're looking at it technically. Again, it's always nice to be in these things when the moving averages are under the price and the prices are going in your direction. We're kind of looking to be in it there, right? That's when you kind of want to be in it. And that's not what's happening right now. So you look elsewhere and you keep an eye on this to see when the winds of change blow. Okay, how about Apple? Apple was a good buy down there at 140. Yep, yeah, right there, 140. Got underneath all its average. Well, let's look at it on a monthly basis first. Obviously, it looks like it's had a pullback here, and it looks like it might be trying to make a test of that. So who knows? But I would say this, if this is the low 159, and it does come up here and doesn't take out 165, and for whatever reason takes out 159, then it would open up the door for much lower levels. Right now, though, it got back above its 12 SMA on the monthly, which is 161 and change. That's good. Next one down is going to be about 157 and a half and then 154 and a half. On a 1 year, you know, it gave you the buy signal right here in the 146 area, right? And it's way, way overdone. And that does look like the space needle up in Seattle. So that looks like it might be a rough racket to take out unless they get very good news out of this data dump or Christmas news with people buying all their products. Two very possible things. Moving averages look great. RSI is above 50. So, you know, Apple looks good. It does look extended though. Let's look at the 5-year again. Looks good. But, you know, that peak there again, let's see what happens in the next weeks or so. You know, if we go through another week or so and this 165 does not get hit and it remains, you could be looking at a situation where, you know, that's the high point. But right now it looks like a pullback. And then if the news and if everybody starts buying as we go into December and the end of the year, and if the January effect hits, you know, this obviously you would imagine would be one of the leaders. It certainly hasn't had the big, big up year the other stuff does. And when people get nervous, they seem to run into your Microsoft, your Apple, your Facebook, your Google and your Amazons. You know, that's where they run. So this is a kind of a defensive and offensive play at the same time. But as far as an entry level, you know, if you want to keep it on a very short leash, those are your numbers right there. One, basically 161 or even today's lows, 159, short leash. And then if it does break that, you know, next one down is, you know, pretty much down there, 157 and a half. Right now it looks okay though. But again, you know, these lines are moving up, which is very positive. You want the price on the other side of the fence, right? The price right now, we want it on the other side of the fence. Okay. So Apple's looking pretty good, as you would imagine. It's had a good run. How about SCWX, SecureWorks? Well, you guys are picking ones that are on the defensive here, huh? All right. Well, you're on the wrong side of the highway here, and it did hit a nice low here today. So on a daily basis, you might have got a turn off of it, and of course you did. So on a day trade, it was a buy at 18, and pretty much you could hold it now if you wanted to or take your money and run. Not much money there, but some. On a 1 month, we showed you it's no good. Technically, this is all technical. On a 1 year, again, it's on the defensive. This is a low point it's trying to hold. You know, you get back above 1950 and 20, then it opens the door for up here. Right now, that door is not open. Going back to 2017, again, this is why we like to look at the different levels. Remember that one where we said it looks bad, but on the 5-year, it's right on the line? Same story here. Looks bad on everything, except what? The 5-year, where it's testing and it got underneath. Look at it. It got underneath here and it ran from 17 all the way up to 22 almost. Here it went all the way down to 1750 and now it's closing above the 36, which is at 1831. Keep it above 1831 next week. Maybe you're back on the bicycle. Your RSI is right at 50. So this is a crunch time, just like it was on that other stock. Crunch time for this. You hold this 1850 mark, 1830, whatever heck I just said. What did I just say? 1830. And it starts matriculating back up. You could could be onto something here, buying it on a dip. You start breaking under here and these averages start really coming down, then you don't know what you got. Should be a lot of support at 16, because that's a very good high point. But right now, let's keep it above 1831 and keep all this price on the right side of the fence. Huh? Okay, next one up is SBNY. Signature Bank. You know, the banks are doing good because interest rates, yields are rising. And although they haven't taken out the highs of March, they look like they're going to try to. But even it going up like this gets people anticipatory on higher rates for the banks. You know, they pay you nothing on your deposit, right? And so if they can have you take loans out on credit cards and lines of credit and mortgages at a higher rate, that's how they make money. So this thing's extended on a five-year basis because this is down here. You had a couple of times here in the last few months, though. Look, October, you had a chance to buy it down here against the line. And in all through October, you had a great time to buy it against the line, and you could have got it under 300. Now you're in there at 336, up over 10%. Not too shabby. RSI is above 50, so it's a bull market in the old Signature Bank. And here you had plenty of time to buy it against the green line here in October. This is the end of October, so there you go. That's your buy right here. Came down and test the green, and now you move away. Test the red, move away. So maybe it'll come down and give you another break here, and that would be in the area of 315 to 323. 315 to 323 with an outside chance if things got really rough down to 311. So, you know, if you want to buy the dip because you think it's a bull market, that's what you'd do. RSI looking good here, up around 65. This thing, if it breaks above 340, could really pop and accelerate. On a one-month basis, it's probably going to be a little extended, but you want it on a really short leash. There's a short leash for you on the 12 SMA at around 331. Little looser leash, 327, and you certainly wouldn't want it underneath 323, 324. Signature Bank looks pretty good, but again, you should have got into it already, and if you might want to get see if you get a dip. If it gets above 340, that you can see there, it's going to be probably in an acceleration phase. And then in an acceleration phase, it's always nice to use something like this red line, the 12 SMA on the monthly, to make sure that you don't give all your gain back. All righty then, where are we now? AMD, the chipster. Okay, AMD had a big rally. How come they're not giving me my averages? Let's go back and find out if we can get that. Yeah, and then we're going to go one year, and then we'll put the AMD up here. AMD, Advanced Micro Devices. There's my lines. There we go. Okay, so let's look at the 5 year. We're going from longer term to shorter term. Very extended, and you can see when it gets extended, it comes back to the line. Gets extended, comes back to the line. Got extended, came back to the line. So, you know, I'd be imagining this is coming back to the line. And look at your RSI here. You see, this is called a new high, and this is called a lower RSI. That's called a divergence. When you get a divergence, that indicates a blow off. And as you can see, it is coming back down. It's already penetrated the 12 SMA. So if it's going to go back up again, you want it to stay above 149 ballpark, right? And it's above there now. So you want to keep it on a short leash. Today's low 145 or even higher at 149. And if it breaks that level, you know, you got some real estate. And this is called an air pocket, right? Air pockets. And on a one-month basis, let's see what it's doing. It's rolling over. But if we can get back above 150 and change, that would be nice. But 154 would even be nicer. RSI is coming back up. So as far as AMD, you get back above the 151 area, 154 area, this thing could be going back up and testing the high point. And as I showed you on the longer term graph, or on the 1 year anyway, yeah, staying above this 149 area would be nice. Because the long term stuff just tells you it's in the ozone and the ozone gets pretty thin. Okay, so that would be one to keep on the short leash because you can see that if it did ever start breaking, you know, again, the world is round, and this is just my opinion, okay? The world is round, and so what comes after a chip shortage? A chip supply. What comes after a bottleneck? A delivery of the items. What happens after pent-up demand? Normalized demand, right? So that's why I'm saying in 2022, the likelihood that this up market that we saw this year to repeat is probably not a high probability. Now, somewhere in the next 12 months, between now and the end of next year, let's call it 13 months, something is going to happen. So what you do in that environment is you try to keep an eye on your P&L because your P&L doesn't lie. People lie, but your P&L doesn't lie. And your P&L, if it's not going the right direction, is your clue that things are changing. So keep an eye on your P&L. Okay, what's up next? Trump. Oh, put an M in there and we've got a controversy. Huh? All right. Trupp. Never heard of Trupp. Trupanion. That's the beauty of you guys submitting these stocks. Sometimes I find ones that I'm not familiar with. This is one of them. All right. Let's start out with a nearby. The nearby tells me it's rolled over and needs to get back above 132. It tells me the RSI is under 50, and that's not good. Okay. It also tells me it's getting a little oversold. Did it turn around on a one-day basis? A little bit. So if you're a day trader here, and if it starts popping up above 124 next week, and you want to use the 122 area as an exit, or 120, which was the low today, I guess, that might be a way for you short-term speculators. Let's turn to the 1 month. You know, again, the bloom came off the rose here. 1 year. Okay, now you're into some better technicals. As you can see, it came through here before, through the red, but it held the green, which is it penetrated the 12 SMA, but did not penetrate my 24. So 24 has been pretty good. So right now, 24 comes in where? Comes in at about 118 and three quarters. Now, these are moving averages. So as the prices stay above them, they're going to get higher and higher and higher, right? Over time, as long as the market is above the average, right? That's basic math. Okay, so let's keep it above. If you're a longer term guy, you want to keep it above 118 and three quarters. And if you're a shorter term guy, and of course, above 130 would be back in the bicycle. And then if you're a real long term guy, that's 110 neighbor, you can see that's going to be important because these are former highs that should be support. And your 36 SMA is coming in there right there. So that's the story there. And if you look at the 5 year on this, I don't know, has it been around 5 years? Yeah, it looks like it. Again, it's extended and 140 looks like the peak. So again, the longer it stays above 140, the more likely that you could get a pullback down towards reality, which is around 105. Okay. Today it got hit pretty good. I'm not familiar with the company. I don't have the PE ratio in front of me. If it's a high PE ratio and yields are rising, that would be one excuse to dump this thing. And again, you can see here in this 120 area, there's a reason why it kind of kicks out of here because these are former highs. So you see 110 is a former high and 120. So you'd like to see it hold this 120, 118 and three quarters, whatever the heck the number is, this ballpark, right? And then if it does that, you might be on the bicycle. If it doesn't, 110 is not off the shelf because again, if there's really news on this thing that is changing and people want to get out because there must be a lot of people made money on it, right? Some people bought it at 30. Some people bought it here at 70. Some people bought it again at 75. So, you know, there's people with some profits and obviously some are booking it. You know, if you're an option player, this thing runs up to this place here and you start seeing it roll over at all, you know, the calls are going to be going for a lot of money up here. This is the place where covered call writing or collars would make some sense. You know, you sell the 150 call for a ton of premium and you buy the 130 put. Now it's down at 123. At least you got a hedge on at 130 and you still got upside potential to 150. You know, these are the things that come as second nature to us because we've been doing it for decades. So if you have any questions on this stuff, you should use optionprofessor@gmail.com. Shoot the question over with your contact information, and we're more than happy to share our knowledge and experience. We don't recommend, we're not giving advice, but you know, certainly legal to give an opinion and to give you some knowledge that we have to share, which is what we would do. Okay, so there you go with Trupp. Next one is Micron Technology. We were very bullish on this for a while for a pop, and we got a pop, but then it came right back down, I think. Well, now it's doing pretty good. Yeah, I show you, we got into involved in this thing around the 75 area. It still looks pretty good. And I'll show you more recently. Yeah, you see, once it got above 70, 72, became very interesting to us, and it's been popping ever since. This one is not as overdone as the others. You see, this is just getting back up to where it was. So this isn't as much going like as Taiwan Semi or NVIDIA or stuff like that. So it's a, you know, it was a better value play. That's what made it interesting to us. Western Digital was another one. Let's see, did that hold its water? That was another undervalued one. Yeah, you see, that one's undervalued a little bit. Yeah, look at all that real estate up here. So again, those two were the ones that we thought were good values. Obviously, one Micron has been a real good rebounder, and this one's starting to go. So those are two in the tech space for you guys that are tech guys. Let's take a look at the Micron though, because it is a little bit down the field now. You know, when you like something at 70 and 72, you know, it's hard to get excited at 88. You know what I mean? Let's see what it looks like on a 1 month basis. Yeah. See, again, if you want to keep it on a short leash, there's your short leash right there at 84 ballpark area. You know, there's your short leash. We want to give it more leash. There's 79 and 80. Yeah, see, 79 and 80. So, you know, you either keep it on a very short leash at 84 or you give it more room to 78 to 80 as you wish. But obviously it's had a nice rebound. LPLA. Oh, this is LPL. These guys do clearing. It's a financial stock, so obviously it's starting to break out on the 1 year. So right now it looks pretty good. And I certainly would want it above the 165, let's call it 166 to 168 area. That's your line in the sand. And you'd play it from the long side at that point. That's not very much differential between where it is and here. So out of most of the ones that we see, at least this one isn't very far from land, right? Look at the 5 year and you can see again, yeah, you want it to hold right here. Where's that number come in? 163 ballpark figure. So you got 166, 168, 163. A lot of support underneath. And if it's going to take out there, which is the high, if that's where it's going, it's got a potential 177 to 180 if it goes and takes that out. On the 1 year, again, we showed that. So it looks like it's trying to break out. And again, it is a financial company dealing with clearing firm, clearing brokerage clearing and doing things like that. So again, if that's going to pick up going into the end of the year and with a January effect, this is probably one of the players. Okay, probably isn't one of the lead dogs, but it's definitely looks like one of the players. AXON. Okay, Axon. Let's start out with short term. In the short run, it looks like it is trying to turn up. I'd like to see it get above the 175 mark and then the 180 mark, but it does look like it's trying to turn up. Let's see what it looks like on a 1 year. Yeah, again, let's get this baby above the 175 to 178 area. And if it can do that, it can get back on the bicycle because the RSI looks like it's trying to dip down underneath 50. So this is a crunch time for this thing. This thing doesn't get back above the 175, 178 area and you start taking out 170, which is kind of like the low today, then you have got an issue here because these things, the RSI is turning down and these things will all be above the market. So this is crunch time for this stock. Definitely would like to have it above the 175 to 180, the 178 area. Again, when it's above all the numbers, that's where you're making the money, right? When it's not, it's a rough racket. And when it's choppy back and forth, it's also a rough racket. I don't know what this thing was. Probably they should investigate it because it looks like a weird trade, right? Okay, on a five-year basis. Okay, now here again, this has not been around that long, okay? But this line here seems to have worked pretty well. So again, here comes your support in there at 167. So those are reasonable numbers to work with. 168, 166, 167, and then underneath that around 160, 163. And then under that, you might have air pockets. Decker's Outdoor. There's some people I've heard were bearish on this thing. And I heard somebody say these people are bearish on it because they were shorting it for some reason. And after I think they shorted it after the crash and then they didn't realize how much money was going to be put into fixing up your home. And there you go. There's your Home Depot. There's your Decker. There's your Whirlpool and all the rest of them. Now we got a pretty good shakeout here in the month of October where this baby came down to the mean. Remember, come back to the mean. But again, once it got above there, that's why we love these moving averages. Once it got above there, it was your signal to get back in. And you should be in this thing ever since 370. And now it's at 425. Now, for sure, you don't want it underneath 400 and then 380. It broke the nearby here. So let's get this thing above 427. If it doesn't get above 427, it opens the door to 410 and 390 and all this stuff. So let's get it back above the 410 area, 427 and a half. And on a 1 month basis, again, Yeah. That's why you want to get it above that 427, 430 area, 435, if you want to see it take out. Question is this a mature situation? You saw how far it went up in the last year, right? And is this anybody who wanted to build a deck? Have they already done it? Or whatever these people are doing. Have they already done it? Because it's already had, a pretty significant run,
I think it's a shoe company.
It is?
Like footwear, yeah.
Okay, because I knew there was one that does outdoor decking, but these guys are shoes?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you told me that because I was listening to a lady from Goldman Sachs and she was going on and on about shoes. But the ones that we like are these kind of shoes because these are the ones that people are wearing. In fact, I was just over at Honey Baked Hams and there were like five people in them and the age group goes from like 75 to 15. So these guys are pulling back, but you can see this has been the place to be, Crocs. But again, that's very extended. So you have to be a little careful up here. But obviously, this has really been a fantastic run. And the popularity of these shoes are undeniable. Again, though, there's some concerns that maybe this has front run the good news that might be coming out. So again, this could be a buy the rumor and sell the fact. Right now, it looks like that's the way it might be unfolding. But clearly, it does look pretty good as long as it stays above 160 or so on the 1 year. But you can see on the 1 month, it definitely has got people coming out. Again, higher yields that people are not used to get people freaked out. And if you're losing on something else, sometimes you sell some winners in order to pay for them. That might be what's going on here. This could just be a casualty of people losing money in other stocks, and they're selling some of their winners to offset that. But again, we are heading into the holiday season. And then the Goldman Sachs lady was going on and on about how people are very casual. And when they go back into the office, they're going to probably be wearing casual shoes. And that's why they were so positive on the footwear area. So again, the one we were just talking about in Crocs, you know, they've had a great time of it. They are pulling back. If they can hold their water on some of these moving averages, they could be buying opportunities on the dip. Okay, next one up is OLN. Okay, this one's had a correction, so that's good. And the recent lows are probably the good area to use as a line in the sand, which comes in at about 57 bucks. Comes in close with this one too. So 57 bucks is a line in the sand. It's back above the 24, which is coming in at 59.85. So let's keep it above 59. Well, it's in the post market, it's already testing it. So again, your real line in the sand here comes in at 56. Let's take a look at a longer term graph. Okay, so again, it is got potential here to come down and test these numbers here, 54.5, 50.5, 48.5. And the RSI is still above 50, looking good. On the 1 year, RSI is still above 50. So this right now looks like a correction. This looks like a correction. And if you're a reasonably longer term holder, 56 looks like your number. And then on the 1 month, if you're a shorter term trader, yeah, it looks pretty lousy unless we got back above 62. So this does look like a spike low, though, you know, and then you got long term support. So a person who wanted to accumulate it between 56 and where we are now, using 56 as a line in the sand, doesn't look like a, you know, a terrible thing to look at. And all this number here at 50, you know, that would be your real line in the sand. You don't want this thing under 48.50, but that's pretty far down from where we are. But, you know, if you're holding on for the long term, this is, you know, this has been a trained seal all the way up. So, and this is a very big move. And you can see the RSI here, you know, a little bit of a divergence, you know, from where we were. So I'm not 100% familiar with this company, but, you know, 65 right now looks like the high point, and 56 or 50 is the support. So you're really in a trading range, 65 and 50 to 55 on the downside. And, you know, let the market tell you where it's going. All right, Roku. All right, there you go. You've got Roku very oversold down here on a 5-year basis. I mean, talk about a company that lost its favor. Again, valuations matter when yields rise, and yields are rising, so valuation matters. So here you go, 50 down, you got half price, more or less than half price, 50% off. Actually, when it gets down to 60% and it hits somewhere in this neighborhood, it might be not a bad thing to look at. It hasn't been around that many years, so you can't go much further than 5. Let's look at the 1. Yeah, again, it's very, very oversold. That's the best thing you can say about this thing. And it sets up the potential for a throwback rally. How do you find if it's starting the throwback rally? You go to your short-term stuff. And so the 1 year, the 1 day has turned up. So obviously, as long as it stays above 225 right now, that would be nice. If you look at the 5-day, you know, again, it still looks lousy. You really need to get above 230 to change the trend. On a 1 month, yeah, again, way up to 250. So this is really a gambler's paradise. If you're buying into this thing, you are definitely catching something that is very much out of favor and that is technically very oversold, but also very weak. So this is definitely a caveat emptor. But if you think there's news coming down that might change this, it has definitely been sold out because, you know, all you have to do is look at the 1 year on it and you can see that it's gone from 500 down to 226, which is better than 50% off. Sometimes stock drops 61%. So if you're at 500 and you take 61.8%, you take it away, 191. So, you know, if it has one more leg down and it holds 191, that would be a a fib drop, and maybe that would be something to hold your hat on. Right now, again, this is, you know, here's where you made money on it when it was on the right side of the fence, right? That's where you make money on it. And this is where you lose all your money because it's on the wrong side of the fence all the way down. Okay, yeah, we don't have much time, so I'm going to do rapid fire here. Rapid fire. We're going to start out with the S&P, and I'm going to try to give you as much as I can here before we sign off. I'm doing the same thing I did with the other stuff. I'll show you exactly what it looks like to me. All right. On a five-year basis on the S&P, you can see we're way extended and it could come back to reality. Reality is more in the 4,500, 4,400 handle. And then on the 1 year, again, it is having a hard time with this line here. So you want it to stay above 4,680, 4,680, and it closed above 4,680. If it doesn't, it's going to possibly go down here in our view to 4,600. If it breaks today's low, which is 4,652, we think the next one is 4,600 and 4,630. If it breaks that, then of course, you're going to go into the 4,500 handle. Okay. On a 1 month basis, short term, it did roll over and it's still underneath. So to get back on the bicycle next week or by the end of the week, you would love to see closes above 47, let's call it 4,700. Let's get this thing with a 4,700 number on the E-mini, and that would make everybody feel better because the RSI right now is under 50. And if it starts fading from here, then Santa Claus may come a little later. You know, our belief was that it's going to hold the 4,600, 4,630, 4,650 level, and maybe it will get some good news out of the dump, and maybe the month of December will be constructive, and then maybe we will get a situation where January will take us up to that 4,800, 5,000 area. That's what the whole world is looking for, though, and that's why we've been cautioning people to watch your profit and loss and watch the tape, because if it starts breaking under 4,630, 4,600, and it doesn't come right back like it's done every other month, you can see it had a big drop down, came back up, big drop down, come back up. Now we're having a drop down. Let's see if it comes back up. If it gets back above 4,700, then this is just baloney. If it starts trading down here, maybe the baloney is really roast beef. Okay, this is the one that everyone's worried about. So let's take a look and see what it looks like. This is called interest rates, and this is yields rising, okay, or dropping. Now, I'm looking at the long-term graph because that's the one that I'm watching because that's a little harder to trick you. And as you can see, this is what I'm holding my hat on here with the 175 that we saw earlier in the year. You see, this is March. You see the word March right there? And look where the low is. Are we even taking out that low? No, we're not. Where are we today? We're at 144. That's right where the blue line comes in, which is 145.49. So if next week or by the end of the week, we start trading above TLT at 145.49, then again, yields may not be rising like everyone is panicking this week. So keep an eye on some key numbers. We're going to throw in the towel on our longer term stuff if we break under 135, 133, and we can get above 175, 180 on the 10-year. Could happen because, again, this guy didn't have to worry about losing his job right now, and he's clearly behind the curve. I mean, come on. But he's also got a lot of things going for him. These bottlenecks will probably resolve. Pent-up demand will probably come down. Gasoline prices may subside. Housing prices may subdue. Okay. All of that stuff that's going nuts, it could always come down again. The world is round. 2022, I'm anticipating all of what I just said is going to happen. So again, if that happens, you're not going to see higher yields. These guys are going to have to do a combination. Who knows? But the bottom line is with everything so extended, you know, if these yields were to come down here, what do you think would happen to real estate? What do you think would happen to these stocks? You know, what do you think would happen to the dollar? The dollar will soar. And all these assets that have been built up on cheap money, what do you think is going to happen to them? Go up? Maybe. I'd question that. Okay, so really keep your eye on TLT because we are right in the middle of it right now. 145 ballpark figure, 133 ballpark figure. There you go. Two lines in the sand. All right, now let's talk about gold because gold was looking like it wanted to get going, and now it has turned back down. So some of you people that are into gold, not sweaters here, let's get that off the screen. Thank you. Okay, gold on a 20-year basis, okay? Still bullish, right? There's your moving averages. I want this thing to stay above these numbers, though. 1771, that's a really big number. And if we can get back above the red, which is at, well, let's put it this way. If this was just a shakeout in 1761, which we saw here this month, is going to be the low, and we start breaking back above 1800 again, and then we take out, for whatever reason, this recent high of 1800, 1870, then forget about it. Gold is going to have a run and people are going to be very, very surprised. So we have not thrown in the towel on this, but we have not really put the table slamming bull on there yet, because again, it's still dicey back and forth. And if that dollar is going to zoom up to 100 or something and inflation is going to really collapse, it could be a rough racket for gold. But again, it's above 50 on the RSI. Now that's long term. You can see on a short term basis, it's got nailed. Let's go on a short term basis. There you go. Okay, I got it. Yeah, short term basis. So it basically gave you a sell signal at 1860 if you're trading it. And on a 1 year basis, again, it's getting back above that number. See, can you see getting back above 1800? Real important, real important. So let's see what happens. Okay. And Newmont Mining doesn't seem to have been reacting either way. That's why we were concerned that the gold rally would not last, because Newmont's not moving. And although now with the big drop, it's also not moving down below its low. So Newmont is 53 on the low. As long as we're above 53 here, we should be okay. If it starts breaking underneath that and gold starts breaking under 1771, it's all bets off. Now, again, if we can get back above 58 on Newmont and take out 59, go to 60, this thing pays about a 4% dividend, which ain't bad. And it is obviously one of the, shall we say, mainstays of the gold. So those are two to look at right there. Crude oil. Okay, let's take a look at what that's doing, because they just announced what? That they are going to be 50 million barrels coming out of our stuff, and India is throwing in 5 million. Sounds like a lot of people are anteing up. But, you know, the amount of supplies are still way underneath pre-COVID. So again, crude really has to get back above 80 to get back on the horse. Can you see that right there? And again, on a 5 year basis, it's still a bull market as long as it's above 70, as far as we can see. So again, they're talking about all this crude, but people are scoffing at it right now. On a short-term basis, it might have flipped around as well. Yeah, see, it flipped around here when it got above 76. So in this case, you want to open your doors. If it does hold its water, as you can see, that 80 number was very important. The XLE would be the place to go. Again, it has to hold its water. Can you see it's coming right into the crunch? So again, if it can't get above 58 next week, this is just a little rally and it's going to go right back in the soup. So jury's still out on it, but it certainly does seem like it has some legs. But we'll have to see if those legs take us into new territory of bullishness, or it's just a little throwback rally and there's still trouble ahead on energy. A couple of the industrial metals still look like, you know, they're in tight supply. Freeport-McMoRan is one. And this thing here, you know, we've been positive. Well, I'll tell you, to be honest, we've been positive on this thing since 10 bucks. And I'll show you why. Look where you got in. I mean, you know, we thought this thing was good down here and we've held it the whole time, all the way up. Now come back down here, but it never got the blue to turn down. So if this thing starts getting under 36, we'll get on the Alumni Association. But if it can't get underneath 36, this thing still has the potential to go on another run, because this stuff is needed. And it is in tight supply. So that makes it a good thing. All right, guys, we covered all your stocks and I gave you a little brief thing on a couple of things that I'm seeing. But what you should do is you should go over to our website, optionprofessor.com. That's OptionProfessor.com. And you should put in your email so you could get a weekly market update on everything from the stock market to interest rates, to the dollar, to the gold and silver and crypto, and to areas of energy and international. So that's a whole menu of stuff that we keep you updated. And of course, we've been doing it for decades. So it is our opinion and it's our observation, but it is gleaned from a bit of experience. Again, you're always going to go to your broker and your advisor and your brokerage firm to find out what's right for you, because we don't give advice, but we do give information and that could be put into your research, which we think is of value. So basically, that's what we're going to have for you if you go to the website. And then, you know, if I'm on the other end of this meeting and if I had a question, you know, I would go to the email and just go optionprofessor@gmail.com. And if you have a question, what do you think of this? Or what do you think about that? Or, you know, I'm in this or I'm in that. Do you have an opinion? And take advantage of a resource to at least get more information. So that's optionprofessor@gmail.com. So we'll be sending out our weekly update tomorrow because of the holiday. And so if you really want to get get on board to get the updated one that we issue tomorrow, go to optionprofessor.com and get that email in there. Okay, so we are at the top of the hour. I want to thank everybody for being here. If you have any other stocks that we didn't cover, again, you could email them over to us and we can try to get you some information on that. Otherwise, have a great Thanksgiving and let's all enjoy ourselves. We got a big data dump tomorrow, so don't go to sleep before you look at that. And then, of course, Friday is pretty much of a dead day for data, but with the markets thin, and if they get enough news, these algos could do crazy stuff with the market during the quiet period while people are on holiday. So keep an eye on things, and we'll be back with you next time. I'm going to turn it back over to David. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And again, happy Thanksgiving.
All right. Yeah, covered a lot of good info this episode. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. And you can also just go to timingresearch.com to get access to this episode as soon as I can get it posted, or any of the past shows or events or episodes. If you have not seen this yet, we did a huge Friendsgiving event last week. We had 36 different presenters, including the Option Professor. And so that's a lot of good education that you can review anytime you want right on timingresearch.com. So just want to thank guests again for today, the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.